Recovering the Bride, an introduction. Most people are familiar with William Shakespeare. You probably had to read him for high school or at least watched a weird adaptation. I love Shakespeare's work, not just the flowery language or iambic pentameter. I've always admired the breadth of his audience. The aristocracy and the poor all came to see Shakespeare's plays because there was something for each of them. In the Globe Theatre of London, poor people had the best view of the play. They paid a penny to stand in a dirt pit in front of the stage, so they were called penny stinkards or groundlings. Sometimes God's groundlings have the best view of grace in the theater of redemption. This book is written for groundlings, the common saints of Christ's church. There are astounding theology books out there. Systematic theologies by men like Burkhoff, Bovink, Turretin, and Calvin have influenced my work. There are innumerable others who have influenced my thinking. Some are even still alive and writing. I love their works, despite how long it took me to understand them. I am not the next great theologian, but I wanted to write a book that everyone in my congregation and other congregations can read and enjoy. I want to help people fall in love with Jesus all over again. I want to help you see more of a God who loves beyond measure, gives grace to his people beyond comprehension, and saves groundlings like me. Why I wrote this book. Years ago, I had a conversation with a friend from seminary about modern Christian music. He commented that when working with young people, he encouraged them to avoid music with lyrics in the Jesus is my boyfriend genre. Nicholas Alford makes a similar statement regarding worship. Worship songs shouldn't be able to be sung to a boyfriend or girlfriend with minor edits to the personal pronouns. You've probably heard songs like this, where the sovereign, holy, omnipotent creator of the heavens and the earth is reduced to a teenage love interest. This is a major reason why Protestant theologians are hesitant to write about the church and its relationship to Christ in terms of the bride. They have done what Christians do best, overreact to error. Overly sentimental pseudo-churches water down theology, the study of God, to prevent any kind of offense to the hearer. In a nutshell, it is immanence, God with us-ness, for them, over transcendence, God above us-ness. It is the God-man without the God. They want to say, Jesus is my homeboy. The other primary group that has twisted this metaphor is none other than Rome. In her claims to be both visible and invisible church, all in one bejeweled package, they have infected the beautiful bride with all manner of unwholesome characters. Theologians talk about this idea regarding the visible-invisible church distinction, which is to say that becoming part of the visible church, walking an aisle, saying a prayer, and even being baptized and becoming a church member, does not make someone a Christian. Salvation makes Christians out of sinners by grace through faith. This is what makes someone part of the bride.